Call to order here.
Yeah, I think I might.
We're the regular session of the Planning Commission. First up is roll call. So John Updike.
Here.
Gary.
Here.
Bob Berman.
Here.
Bill Brannigan here.
Jim Hanselman here.
Rolly Westerberg here.
Marjorie Blom.
Here.
He's gonna get a spring.
Next on the agenda is the approval of the minutes.
Chair Brannigan, I have reviewed both sets of minutes, the work session from 4:10 and the regular session from 4:10, and having only found a few minor typos, which have been submitted to all of you, I move that we approve both sets of minutes as written and corrected.
Second.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed? Okay, approved.
Thank you, Mr. Berman.
My pleasure, as always.
Our scribbler.
Okay, next is citizens' public comment. A public comment roster is available immediately inside the council chambers. Anyone who would like to address the Planning Commission on any matter not on the agenda will be given the opportunity after signing the roster. Each speaker should limit comments to 3 minutes. The normal disposition of these items will be at the next scheduled Planning Commission meeting. Do we have any comments? There are no comments? Okay. Next is our public moving into the agenda is file number 2-CUP-23, continued from the last session. It's the application by South Beach Church for a conditional use permit to build a 19,895 square foot church and 50 student private school. Staff report.
Chair Brannigan, I think it'd be good to go back through the meeting script. It's important that commissioners have a chance to disclose any ex parte contacts between meetings.
You gotta read that whole thing.
Yeah, I'm not gonna read that whole thing.
Yuck.
Okay, is there?
Sorry about that.
Story time.
Any ex parte or site visits by anybody?
No.
From
Nope.
The last time? No, okay. This is a, we don't have anybody on Zoom? No.
No, there's no one online.
Okay. This is a land use public hearing regarding the application by the South Beach Church for a conditional use permit. This statement applies to quasi-judicial and legislative land use hearings on the agenda. All testimony and evidence presented toward the request being heard must be directed toward the applicable criteria and the Newport Comprehensive Plan, the Newport Municipal Code, or other land use regulations or standards which the speaker believes to apply to the decision. The failure of anyone to raise an issue accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the Planning Commission and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue will preclude appeal to the Land Use Board of Appeals, which is known as LUBA, based on that issue. An issue which may be the basis for an appeal to LUBA shall be raised not later than the close of the record at or following this evidentiary hearing. Such issues shall be raised and accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the city decision makers and the parties an adequate opportunity to respond to each issue. The failure of the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to allow the city to respond to the issue precludes an action for damages in circuit court. Prior to the conclusion of a hearing, any participant may request an opportunity to present additional evidence, arguments, or testimony regarding the application. If such a request is made, then the hearing will be continued to a date certain and schedule set for submittal of additional testimony. A period for parties to respond to the new testimony and a period whereby the applicant can provide final argument. We went through actual or potential conflicts of interest, of which we had none. If anyone present has an objection to the participation of any planning commission member or the commission as a whole, please raise that objection now. Okay, hearing none. Planning Commission may, at the request of a participant or on its own accord, continue the hearing to a date certain to provide an opportunity for persons to present and rebut new evidence, arguments, or testimony related to the applicable criteria. Hearing will proceed in the following order: staff report, the applicant's testimony, persons in favor, persons opposed, the applicant's rebuttal. The record will then close for public testimony. The Planning Commission will then go into deliberations, questions, and come up with a verbal decision. A final order and findings will be prepared for consideration at the next meeting. Okay, we have a large crowd. So as we go through the persons in favor, many of you were probably here at the last Planning Commission. You don't need to re-testify because we already have your information, which is a matter of record from the last time. And for those that are testifying, I'd like you to limit your testimony to 2 minutes and try to address the actual conditions, although you may bring up whatever you would like. At this point in time, staff report.
Thank you. Derek Tokos, Community Development Director. I'll try to be brief here. I'm not going to go back through the entire staff report. I touched on that in detail at the last public hearing. So I'm going to just really kind of provide an update on what's happened since the last public hearing. Included in your packet, you had a brief memo from me, along with the conditions of approval that I had recommended in my original staff report. One of the conditions I had inadvertently not included in the condition list, but had discussed in the body of the staff report, so I added that in. It's now condition 4, and I'll touch on those in a minute. In your package, you also had a copy of the applicant's most current site plan, which includes the concept with 91 overflow parking spaces as a playing field, the reinforced turf concept that we talked about. You also, in your packet, had comments that we'd received since the last public hearing. You had a comment from Barb Wright in support of the church's conditional use application. You had a letter from Scotty Fairchild, which summarized some of the concerns he raised with respect to things such as stormwater or wastewater runoff, as he's got it phrased in here. Issues that he had expressed verbally at the first public hearing, wanted to make sure he had it in writing as well. And a note from the applicant's representative, Dustin Capri, about a neighborhood meeting that they held on Friday, and I'll let them speak to that when they have their applicant testimony on that. And then today you received an email from Bonnie Serkin, the Chief Operating Officer of Landwaves, Wilder, the large plan development that this project is next to. There are a couple things in here that she's asking. She's asking that that any approval of the church have stipulations requiring future monitoring relative to noise and traffic control, that church volunteers control traffic during peak events. I'll speak to both of these here briefly. So the conditions that were outlined, and you should all have a copy of this in the original staff report, and I believe they still hold this. In other words, you know, my recommendation is that the church has provided substantial evidence to show that the conditional use permit criteria have been satisfied, provided certain conditions are imposed. One is that you know, the applicant provide an updated set of plans that address some targeted issues. There may be some additional details relative to overflow parking that we want to get pinned down. There's a drive aisle directing vehicles towards basically the property owned by by Wilder that they'll need to barrier off, so it's clear that that's not inviting cars to go park on somebody else's private property. That there are some provisions in state law that deal with electric vehicle charging infrastructure that are going to have to be met under the building code for a project of this size. That there's some bike parking spaces, some lighting issues that they'll need to address, some landscaping provisions that they'll need to address. For the signage, we have a sign permit process that limits what they can do. They did provide a revised exterior rendering showing, hey, look, this is all stuff we can do, go with a little bit more modest sign layout. And then the last one had to do with the acoustics consultant, that they follow the recommendations of the acoustics consultant in the design of the building, and that prior to occupancy, we received a certification from the acoustic consultant that their recommendations were followed. So that's what we have in terms of the staff recommendations. With respect to what Bonnie was asking for, regarding traffic, the applicant has provided a site plan that meets the city's parking code requirements. They've provided information that even during peak periods, such as Easter, which they just had an Easter service, the amount of vehicles parked for that service could be accommodated in what they're going to be building as permanent parking here. And they're providing 90-plus overflow parking spaces in a field, a reinforced turf field that they can use as the congregation grows over time. They're not impacting 40th per se. As they keep, you know, as they leave, they'll be queuing out of their driveway. So a lot of the queuing backup, that's going to be internal to their own property. I think you have substantial evidence, and I think to find that the standards have been met, and that's the question before you: have the standards been met? You know, relative to parking, is this going to result in a greater adverse impact relative to what other uses, community college, others are having on the system? It becomes problematic when trying to say, look, we're gonna condition something based on some future potential monitoring. That doesn't really work. And if you choose to approve the application, then if there's an issue relative to noise, well, we have a noise ordinance, and that's what would come into play at that point in time. That's 50 decibels at the property line at night in a residential area, 55 decibels daytime residential area. Our police department's accustomed to enforcing it. South Beach Church has dealt with that particular code at their current location. But that's how you address things in the future. Right now, it's, okay, they've got an opportunity to develop the church building anew. They're not taking basically a auto body shed basically and converting it over. They have an opportunity with recommendations from the acoustic consultant to address in the structural design of the building the noise and vibration is likely to emanate. So that's the evidence you have before you, that are they addressing these issues proactively? Now, that doesn't guarantee anything time you approve a conditional use, it doesn't guarantee that there won't be some future issue in a conditional use. When you run into that, that's when you enforce the other aspects of the code. The noise ordinance as it comes to that. For issues in the public right-of-way, the city doesn't allow for people, lay folks, to do traffic management in a public right-of-way. What you would do typically would be through a special event permit, and you would hire people that are qualified in doing that kind of stuff, and that's how that would be handled. Or if you were obstructing traffic, well, we have a whole chapter of our code that gets at obstructing, streets and sidewalks and things of that nature. And so then it becomes an enforcement issue by our community service officers or police, depending upon the nature of the issue. So at that point, you're enforcing existing codes that you have on the books. So the charge for you now is has the South Beach Church put forward an application with substantial evidence showing that they either will or can, with the imposition of conditions, meet these standards? You're not being asked to address some future potential issue that may arise 2 years from now on noise or traffic. there are other codes in the city's municipal code that are designed for dealing with that scenario. So that's how I would respond to Bonnie's email in that regard. I think the application satisfies the criteria given the conditions I've outlined in my memo. And that's the extent of my presentation at this point. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Are there any questions of staff or Derek? Okay. At this point in time, we have the applicant's testimony. Please state your name and address for the record.
Dustin Capri, 747 Southwest 13th Street in Newport, Oregon.
Luke Frechette, 7130 Northeast Benton Place, Newport, Oregon.
So I won't go into too exhaustive detail. I spoke a lot 2 weeks ago. So wanted to touch on just sort of some, you know, keynotes. So I'm actually really thankful for the public process. You know, in December of 2022, we submitted for the annexation. We went through, you know, two hearing processes through that, you know, received approval through the city council. And then in January, we submitted for the CUP. So we've been working through this process for some time now.
Dustin.
Is it not working? Closer?
Well, now it's working, it seems. Thank you,
okay.
Dustin.
Sorry about that. Through the annexation process, we heard a lot about concerns about the environment and the unique habitat, and you know, South Beach Church and our team and the civil engineering team, you know, came up with this idea of a conservation easement along that hillside right adjacent to the habitat. So that's something that I think was really positive that came out of this process. You know, that easement's in place. There's a potential for a future trail. It's exciting. It's good for the church and good for the community. We've heard a lot of concerns about sound. I think, you know, through our conversations with the neighborhood and with general concerned citizens, I think we've proven through Team Wilson Media that we can accommodate the concerns about sound and address them effectively with this new facility. Through the CUP process, we heard concerns about parking. So we, you know, quickly revised the plan and added those 91 additional overflow spaces to make sure that we're addressing those concerns that were brought up. Derek mentioned concerns about signage. Really quickly, we modified the exterior renderings to show that our signage will be complying with what is allowed in a R3 zone. I think a part of this process too has been a general concern of what sort of neighbor the church will be. And when we ended the meeting 2 weeks ago, I think probably you said, reach out. And so over the last 2 weeks, we've had, I've had numerous conversations with Bonnie Serkin. I know Luke has as well. I spoke with Bonnie today actually, and it went well. On Friday night, we had a event. We had 10 people show up and it was fantastic. We had an opportunity to, you know, hear their concerns. And I think most importantly, it was an opportunity, you know, for Pastor Luke gave everyone his cell phone number and said, if there's an issue, call us. You know, I think it was an opportunity. It lasted an hour and a half. And the church was able to show that they want to be a good neighbor, show that they want to be a part of the community. Going through this process has been helpful. I think, you know, the church and the design team have shown that we're willing to make changes to address concerns. And I ask tonight that hopefully we receive approval and can move on.
I think Dustin pretty much covered all the bases there and what's gone on in the last 2 weeks. I wasn't able to attend live 2 weeks ago. Thank you guys for Zooming me in. I was on the other side of the country. And it was a great meeting, 2.5 hours. Appreciate all the time dedicated. And I went through in my mind, I wondered how the outcome of the meeting would have went had there not been a continuance asked for by Bonnie. And I wondered, you know, did we satisfy all the standards? And I agree with Dustin that in the last 2 weeks, some other, you know, variables have been brought to the surface, ones that we already kind of knew about and agreed on. And so none of the concerns that have been brought to the table, even with the 2 week continuance, were outside of the ballpark of our already, you know, kind of thought process that we're trying to solve these issues efficiently. You use that word, I'll say proactively. We all know that the building we've been using, we've outgrown it. Number of times I've talked to Derek and other city leaders and said, can we just buy the building we're in? Can we stay there? And for various reasons with the urban renewal, you know, finances that purchase the building, we can't stay there. And we can't just continue to make improvements. And so we understand that. So leaving that building, and then I believe it's God also forcing our hands, saying, hey, I actually want to do greater things through South Beach Church and for the community that can't be done on 101. They're going to be done better in the woods in this 12-acre parcel with a new building, with greater facilities. I always make fun of our church. Our parking is insufficient. Our bathrooms are insufficient. Everything's insufficient. And so a new building is going to be amazing, and it's going to be built properly with the sound mitigation and all the other issues that have come up. And I would say having the meeting, the information meeting last Friday at South Beach Church, we let Bonnie reach out to the HOA of Wilder Community and invite the men and women that showed up. We broadcast it live. We recorded it so it's available on demand for anybody who wants to know, did you know, what other questions came up. I wouldn't say there was any creative questions that came up that weren't already covered at the CUP meeting 2 weeks ago, but they're important questions for the community members that live up there. And I think meeting with them and being able to say, look, we're right here. We really do believe in the two greatest commandments. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And that's what Jesus said. And so we really do want to be the best neighbor we possibly can to every single person in Newport and beyond. And so we want to put our money where our mouth is, dare I say, and make sure that we do that in the design of the building, the execution of the build, keeping the integrity of the forest and all the eco structures and all the things that we value as well. So that was great to bond with the community members there. I apologized to the community members if it felt like there was a, you know, sleight of hand or something fast. I said, from my point of view, none of this has been fast. This has been over a decade in the works. My very first contact person ever to buy and build land was Bonnie Serkin 10 years ago, 2013, in the month of August. And so I was operating under the auspice that if I'm kind of communicating with Bonnie, that's pretty good because she is, you know, Wilder and all the development up in that community. That was a mistake on my part. And even just following the lead of our design team, in reaching out to the community members within, I think, the 200 to 300 foot radius. And additionally, it just made sense to me that kind of everyone knew what we were doing. It was in the front page of the paper. It's not been hidden. None of this has been done behind closed doors. However, I apologized, and I want to own that we could have been better neighbors and done a better job of letting the upper Wilder community know what was going on and or just making ourselves available for conversation. So it was a good opportunity to meet with them. A lot of questions were asked and answered. And again, that video is available for you guys. So we're looking forward to moving forward. As I mentioned, I wondered, would it have gotten approval 2 weeks ago if there wasn't a continuous? I don't know the answer, but we're hoping to get approval tonight.
Are there any questions?
A couple of questions. When you came in for the annexation, you were pretty confident that you could occupy this building before the end of this year, when you have to get out of that other place.
Right.
Is that still the case?
I would say I'm very confident and optimistic. That's why I hired Dustin to balance me out. And he's more realistic. And I would say based on, it depends on what you mean by occupy. If we can get a bare bones shell put up by December 31st that is safe for the community, it has fire suppression and escape routes and all those things, might not have all the creature comforts, we might be able to pull it off. He would shake his head and say, no, you're not going to be able to. So our fail-safe plan is to, if we're under construction, let's say in December, and the shell is going up and things are happening and the city looks and the planning commission looks and sees, okay, South Beach Church is moving forward as fast as humanly possible, and they're not just wasting time or wasting your time, and then we would apply to the city council and apply for an extension. Can we go month to month into the year 2024 and in maybe January, February, March, all depending on the city's plans for our current space. If you guys have a developer, or if you've listed it, or if you really need us out for a justifiable reason, then we'll by all means get out on December 31st as we've agreed to. And at that point, our second option would be to go mobile, which many churches do. They put all their stuff in storage and they meet Sundays in auditoriums. You can rent the Performing Arts Center, you can rent movie theaters, you can rent the middle school or the high school. Churches do this all over the nation. And I can see us being able, if required, to do that for upwards of 6 months to a year while we finish the build.
Okay. I was just concerned because
yeah,
depending on how it sorts out with that redevelopment, it may be a hard deadline at the end of December. And so as long as you have seriously thought about it and have a plan B, that's
And we don't want to make the city look bad in any way, like, oh my gosh, you're kicking us out. There's nothing, this isn't, we're not going to be surprised if the city asks us to leave. Spencer Neville published that, you know, our eviction notice in the paper, and we saw that. That's, so we know that this is, we'll be held accountable in that way. And again, if there's an opportunity to apply for a small extension, we will.
And the other question I had was, and it's not really relevant to this particular permit, but what, this is a very large parcel of land. It looks like you're actually actively developing anywhere between a third and a quarter of it. What are your plans for the future, like for the large parcel to the east?
So it's 12 acres, and it actually does sound like a lot. And if you've ever walked it, I think when we had it kind of, we graphed it or looked at it from certain maps, only 5 acres was actually developable. The rest is hilly, and there's some gullies and some other areas that are just kind of unusable in that way. Those are kind of exciting features for a church because we don't need every single square foot to be developed. We like the outdoor space feel, the park kind of atmosphere. So at this point, we're going to settle into what we call phase one, which is a multi-million-dollar building, and we're just going to live, and we're going to have church there, run the school there, and kind of, dare I say, win the community's, you know, approval and love by being a good neighbor in that area. And what we do with the rest of the property, the Lord will show us, but at this point, we're going to enjoy it as kind of a park atmosphere in that way, and obviously all the room we need for overflow parking.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Dustin, was the hard deadline of the expiration of your existing lease, was that the reason you were a little pushy 2 weeks ago about the continuance?
I'm always pushy. I'm in here. I'm ready to keep going.
You had your elbows raised and your teeth were bared.
No, we're definitely on a tight, very tight deadline. Mm-hmm.
Dustin, I would applaud you initially for stepping up and getting with the Wilder Group, an oversight that you've admitted to and you've owned that. I appreciate that as a commissioner, and I'm sure the Wilder crew does as well. That's the thing to do. I do have a question. I don't know quite how to address you as Reverend or whatever. I don't know what title.
Father Luke.
Father
no,
Luke.
just Luke. Luke is fine.
Yeah, well.
Thank you.
We'll try another.
Yeah. Just Luke.
There isn't going to be another parking study or a traffic study, but it is a concern, and that area will grow. You have sat before us indicating that you have enough parking on site for your congregation, and that's, I think, what everybody hopes will happen. Some people always like to get out of the parking lot a little faster. It's not going to be that quick getting out with all those cars, and so some people are going to kind of push the envelope, and they're going to want to park out on the street. And that's going to once again raise issues, not ones that we're going to step in on, but I'd just like to hear myself if there's a commitment from the leader of the flock to teach your flock that the streets really shouldn't be used, that we have parking and it's just good neighbor policy. Is that something? It's not going to affect my vote, but it tells me a lot about you.
No, I appreciate that. And I mentioned this at the info meeting we had on Friday, that there was a large church in Seattle that was right downtown. They began to grow, and their people on their way to church would park wherever there was parking. You can imagine downtown Seattle parking. And that church wanted to be a good neighbor, so they actually connected with each local business and made signs. They paid for it themselves, and they put the signs up in these local businesses and said, no church parking, and made sure that they were enforcing this kind of standard, even though it doesn't need to be enforced. You can park wherever you want, essentially. But the church led in that model, saying, we don't want to take these people's parking spots. And I thought that was a really good example. And so Bonnie Serkin also emailed or messaged me today and said, Luke, are you going to be able to provide some kind of in-house parking control and traffic control? And Derek has spoken to that actually we're not allowed to do that, at least not in the official sense. However, our church does do some parking management on our big services. We call it the parking lot ministry, where we have guys with walkie-talkies and safety sticks and vests, and they keep people kind of going, and they can tell, hey, there's two spots down there. You need to keep coming. This is the right spot to park. And so we've already done that. It works very well for us. And to answer your question, Jim, our heart is to keep everyone up on our property and not on the road. If you've ever been on Harborton and seen cars parked there, we did do an event last August, and we contracted with insurance and contracts with Bonnie to actually use her parking on Harborton, and we did it effectively. We had the fire marshal there. We had everything was done well, but it was still, you know, an event and kind of an issue for some of the wilder folks that lived up there, because there was cars on the side of the road. It didn't pose a problem, but it was visible, and we don't want to do that. We want to have everything interior, and so that's our commitment, is to do just that and to communicate that to our congregants. Hey guys, let's be good neighbors. Don't park on the bottom of the road. You know, come up, and even making space and opportunities for people to have good parking up above. One of the members from the Wilder group mentioned, hey, make sure you've thought this through. When a visiting family brings in their fifth wheel, you want to make sure you have, you know, room for them to come up at your church parking lot, and we're going to be ready for those instances as well. So, yeah, we want to do a good job.
Yeah.
Maybe it's up to the pastor to preach from the pulpit, utilize our lot and our overflow lot.
Absolutely.
You put a lot of effort into designing, especially in short order, the overflow lot,
yeah,
you know, which wasn't included in the initial draft.
Well, I think as Dustin pointed out too, to park down below is around a 250-foot wide. It's a decent jaunt to the front entryway of the church, and it really is not convenient by any means. So if you're looking for a convenient place to park, it's not on the road. It's not.
No.
So I don't think it's going to be a problem. And there's, you know, scout's honor.
Well, you know. I put you in this position because I don't really think it's a difficult accommodation.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree.
I think it is an accommodation that a good neighbor would do.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
It was more to see, you know, how far are you willing to carry your goodness?
Yeah, I think it'll be a good challenge.
Because you're going to be a giant neighbor there. You can't eliminate how large you are.
Right.
And so I'm pleased to hear your response.
Thank you, Jim.
You're up, Dick.
Just to confirm, so based on the input from Friday's meeting, you didn't need to make any changes to the plan, no matter how nuanced, just to make sure we know that.
No, yeah, okay. We didn't modify anything in the plan.
Other questions of Pastor Luke, Dustin, or Mr. Gross? Okay, not hearing any. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Okay, next up we have the proponents, and we have two people that have filled out some slips that I'll call first. First off is Dan McLaughlin.
Oh, the microphones are already set up. How nice.
Yes, and it's on. So for the record, we'd like your name and address.
Sure. My name is Dan McLaughlin. I live at 725 Southeast 43rd Street. I spoke last time sort of willy-nilly. I now like this proposal. I went to the meeting on Wednesday at the church, and it was very helpful. I'd like to thank the commission for doing the continuance, because I think it made for better neighbors kind of thing. So that's basically it. If you're curious, the presentation, there was some elaborations on the plan, and then there were some concerns expressed about newspaper articles, and the pastor was able to. One of the problems that was felt in the community was the statement that they have 1,000 people there a day. And the pastor explained that that was a daily average, not an average per show, basically. They can have like 300 people in a service, but if you multiply it by 3, you get 1,000. But he wasn't doing services for 1,000 people. So it was a good presentation in that. We heard about his concern for the land, and that was felt good to a lot of people that were there. And so basically, thank you for going through this process. The agenda port gave us some good information and provided a good sounding point on the sound issues and how they were going to address them in the production, the construction process. So that's all I have to thank. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Dave Wright. Your name and address, sir?
Okay. Dave Wright, 445 Northeast Norman, Newport. I'm here tonight to give my full support to South Beach Church. I just wanted to go on record. And that's just about it. Basically, though, if you look at what's happened to South Beach, with you've got the aquarium, you've got the new center, Marine Science Center out there, wonderful complex. And when you put South Beach Church in there, and it's just going to do nothing but enhance all the businesses there. And with Capri Architecture, you know, you've got the best, and you see churches in towns all over, and they're pretty. It's going to be pretty sound. It's just going to do nothing but, in my view, enhance the whole South Beach area, and along with the new other complexes that are going in, it's going to be a home run. Any questions?
Are you a member?
Yes. And I was at the event there, and you like to eat crab. And also, I appreciate Derek on the parking. I heard some of it. I talked to him a little bit about it. I was retired general manager of Pacific Shrimp on the Bayfront, and I appreciate Derek and all the work he's done in the past and still continues to do so. So just want to go on record. Any other questions?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other proponents or people in favor that would like to? Yes, sir.
Come on
up.
Al Albright. I live in Wilder subdivision at 705 Southeast 43rd Street. The meeting on last Friday was with the church at the church went very well. It gave us more than 3 minutes to talk a piece, so that was a very good thing. In some things, we got down into the weeds of, you know, technical aspects of sound mitigation and that sort of thing, only because I was an architect for 40 years, and planning, design, and construction projects of all sorts were never a stranger to me the last 40 years. So I'm much more comfortable with what the results of that meeting at South Beach Church were. I'm still a little bit careful on the to assess the noise mitigation, especially low frequency noises, loud noises that may transmit from the sanctuary into the neighborhood, as well as a potential parking issue, as I think it was Pastor Luke mentioned about potentially fifth wheel RVs coming in, that sort of thing. Could be buses, could be delivery trucks. They may end up being parked on the street. But overall, I'm more comfortable after that meeting than I had been 2 weeks ago in this chamber. So that's all I have. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
As a former architect, had you had an opportunity to review the attachments that was submitted by the applicant?
I read everything, including the testimonials.
So my question was, did you have any comments on the sound mitigation issues raised in the Team Wilson media letter?
I did. There was a paragraph describing the construction to mitigate sound to the south wall. And I was a little bit concerned about that insofar as low frequency, high volume sound transmitting through that. And they provided a wall system potentially called Quiet Rock that I was not familiar with, so I had to go digging for that. Information on that online. But one of the things about Quiet Rock is that it has a steel sheet through it, and thus you're kind of setting yourself up to reflect any Wi-Fi or cell phones from the interior, because you will surround yourself in metal, essentially. And that might have a bearing on the design. So the good thing might be to go to a kind of a dual wall construction with two layers of sheetrock or something like that if they find that the Wi-Fi does not transmit outside of the sanctuary. The other thing about Team Wilson Media, I have tried over and over again to find online information on them, and I have been unsuccessful. I still don't. I've looked at them high and low. According to Dustin, they were based out of Vancouver. I still could not find anybody in Vancouver by that name. In Team Wilson's letterhead, there is no location, only a couple of phone numbers. So I'm just kind of curious as to whether Team Wilson, they seem to be able to, you know, provide the sound for the sanctuary, but do they have anybody to assess whether the sound can be mitigated to the outside of the sanctuary? In other words, do they have an acoustical engineer on staff? And that I have not been able to find yet. So,
any other questions? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Other proponents that would like to come up? Yes, sir.
Name?
Name and address, sir.
David Decker.
My address on 4315 Southeast Fleming.
Thank you.
I have another home, and this is, well, you don't need to worry about that. I only had one question. There was talk about adding a second parking area that would be an overflow parking or something with a special kind of surfacing and so on. Is that now officially, I'd like somebody to tell me, is that now officially part of the plan or something that could happen in the future?
I'll let Dustin, do you want to speak to that since you're the, very quickly?
That is officially a part of the plan.
Okay, thank you, sir.
It's also a part of the staff recommendation.
Yes, it's also per se. Other proponents, yes, sir.
My name's Jonathan Mix, 443 Southeast 7th Street, Toledo. So I'm a planning commissioner in Toledo. I've only done it a couple of years, so I'm still learning. But this is really familiar to an apartment complex that we had up there. So as far as I can tell, it sounds like it meets the criteria, and they're willing to do whatever it takes to mitigate any sound or traffic or parking issues. And I'm also a contractor, and I'll volunteer and help them do whatever they need to do. So I just wanted to put it out there that it sounds to me like it meets the criteria, and I would ask that you guys go ahead and approve it so we can get moving on it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else? I think we have somebody coming up.
You.
Okay.
Wasn't planning on doing this. My name is Heather Hatch. I have never been one of their neighbors.
Could you move closer to the microphone?
Is that better?
Yeah, since we record this for...
No, I do not live next to them. I live in northern Newport. I am a transplant a few years ago, so I've been here for 5 years or so. And I was watching, and I can't testify or give my advice on any of the building or any of the sound system, but I can say that my first impression when I moved up here was that, as far as character and influence, they were good to have in a community. My first impression was, wow, they're actually spending money and time and giving it away to homeless or anyone who shows up in a park. Free food. This was before COVID. Free food, free whatever, for anyone who shows up, homeless, everybody. And like I said, I'm a transplant from California. I've been involved much more intensely with different organizations and churches. And I will say between that and more recently, a few months ago, when something came up and I'm like, oh, well, maybe if you have this substance, you could use it to fundraise for one of their needs. And immediately the person was like, we give that away. Anything we bring in, we give it away to the community, to people in need. Immediately. That's all I know. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Going once? Going twice? Two and a half to the three quarters. Three, okay. Wait a minute, we have somebody coming in at the end?
Roxanne Talbot. Do I have to say my address too?
Name and address, please.
30 Southeast Craig Place, Depot Bay. I was also not planning on doing this, but I have been attending South Beach Church for quite some time now, and am also in a recovery program, and I have seen multitudes of people get help and stay out of trouble and by being a part of this community and a part of this church. And so I've seen nothing but positive influence on our community by having South Beach Church present here. And I've seen people's lives saved, and my own included. And and you're keeping people that might otherwise be in the jails or on the streets off of them by living a better life. So that's all I have to say.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we were at 2 3/4. We're now at 2 7/8. Okay. The record is now closed for public testimony.
Pardon me.
Opponents and rebuttal. Rushing ahead. Okay, persons opposed?
I'll close the hearing.
No, we have the applicant's rebuttal,
The wall of silence?
Which I assume that the applicants will waive the rebuttal. Okay. Now the record is closed for public testimony. And at this point, the Planning Commission will go into some deliberation, have any questions, and come up finally with a verbal decision. So we'll start the deliberations with Marjorie.
I appreciate that the church met with the neighbors in the neighborhood, and I appreciate the people coming up to testify last time or to speak on the matter last meeting and then also this meeting. I really take it to heart to listen, you know, both sides and what people have to say. I also, with the conditions that are outlined in our staff report, 1 through 4, I believe I could support the church's application. I realize that, you know, the 91 off-street parking spaces and the other conditions outlined, I believe that they meet those conditions. And just in speaking in favor for the church, for the use permit.
Mr. Updike. Didn't expect that.
We're mixing it up tonight. That's good. That's good. As my colleague said, I agree. It's good that we had the outreach process. I think that was a very community building opportunity that everyone took. So we all appreciate that you took advantage of that 2 weeks. And I'm in support of this as well, with the conditions noted.
Harry?
And I concur.
Okay. Ms. Commissioner Escobar.
A structure like this is going to last, you know, minimum of 50, maybe as long as 100 years. And so I think, given the impact on the community, the Wilder folks, the people there on using Highway 101, I think it's important that there be a deliberative process. And so I support the way this process has occurred, even though there might have been folks who wanted to have a decision made earlier. That being said, it is to the applicant's credit that the concerns that were raised either by the staff or by the community, parking, the ecological issues, the sound abatement, all of those issues, the applicant made a good faith effort to address, and they're to be congratulated for their effort to address all of the concerns of the community.
Okay. Vice Chairman Berman.
Thank you. I too support the application and I'm going to vote for it. And up until 15 minutes ago, I had no reservations at all, but the comments from the one gentleman about Wilson Media and their qualifications is a little bit troubling. If they are to be a major player in your design, somehow you need to satisfy the planning department that they really do have qualifications and are in a position to be able to certify those recommendations were followed. And so with that one caveat, I'm fully in support. Thank you.
And we have Commissioner Hanselman.
Okay.
Because you've addressed the issues in such a positive manner and you've owned the problems that you created for yourself, like we all should, and I think you have a good program set up here. I did put you on the spot a bit about being the leader of a group of people. As a commissioner, I can't hold you to that. But as a member of the community, I sure can. And I wish to continue to speak positively of your group and you, because you obviously have a great deal of influence in this area. And it's been a positive influence, as we've heard from many people over the last two meetings. So I am concerned about the sound, because Wilson now comes under a little bit of a cloud, but I think you can handle that as well. I certainly trust Dustin to take care of that, because he's got to live with us for a while. So, and I like Dustin. He's a good guy. We don't always agree, but we can always agree to disagree. So I will support this. I wish you nothing but the best down there. And I will use my good faith and place that in your good faith. I'm done.
Okay. All the requirements for the permit and going through them have certainly been met. And I think that I would like to commend the citizens for coming out 2 weeks ago now, as well as tonight. It's very encouraging that we have people who are involved in the community and are willing to support something that they truly believe in. As far as Wilson and the sound stuff, I'm sure that Mr. Capri and Mr. Gross will take another look at it and make sure that we have the right sound mitigation in there. So
I'll be happy to make a motion.
I'm in favor of it.
Okay. I'll be happy to make a motion to that the Planning Commission approve the application in file number 2, CUP-23, conditioned upon all of the recommendations mandated by the staff, which would include the parking, the overflow parking issue, the electric vehicle charging issue, the bicycle parking spaces, the light mitigation so it wouldn't glare into the neighboring residential properties, the landscaping standards, compliance with the sound permit, and compliance with the letter of Team Wilson, which attachment F to the applicant's application to this committee. And rather than, I just offered this as a suggestion, rather than a certification from Wilson Media, I think a certification from the architect that this has been done under penalties of perjury. Put your license out there, you know, and you say, okay, we have followed the recommendation that we had in the application that we submitted, and rather than having to call Team Wilson back in.
So are you making motion. That? Are you making that part of the
motion?
Of the motion?
You want to modify one of the conditions?
Modifying one of the conditions that, but I'm not setting that in concrete. I'd be open to hear other
well,
comments.
Well, it's either in or it's out.
Okay, let's leave it in, and rather than having Team Wilson do the certification, we could have the architect do the certification.
Okay, so
he's a person we know and trust.
That's still a change to the condition.
The condition 4 says acoustic consultant Wilson Media or a firm equivalent with qualifications. So are you saying to change that?
I'm saying that rather than using Team Wilson to certify that the recommendation set forth in their attachment F, we could have the architect who's on site. He's going to see what the materials are in the building that he's signing off on.
Okay, so could you clearly
repeat exactly what the new condition that you want to add.
If I may, Commissioner, perhaps the only change you would need to make to the recommendation is take the word equivalent out and replace it with appropriate. That would allow any other firm to step in those shoes of the recommendations and work with our planning department. I think that's what you're looking for.
The architect is on site.
Yes.
The architect sees what kind of concrete's used, what kind of beams are used. And if we had the architect who all of us on this commission trust, who said, yes, we have complied with our application, that would be good with me.
Right.
And so I guess without dragging this out much further, I would move that this commission approve the application for the conditional use permit by the South Beach Church, including the four recommendations from the staff, with the modification that rather than having written certification from Team Wilson, that we have written certification from the applicant's architect that the terms of attachment F to the applicant's initial application be followed.
You mean and
that,
or?
Is that concise enough? I'm sorry.
Well, to me, they already have submitted the information in the application. So unless if you said and or, because we're relying on what we've read in the staff report and the attachment. And then it says such certification shall be submitted to the City of Newport prior to occupancy of the building. But I see what you're saying.
I'd sort of take exception to that. I think if it's a technical recommendation that somebody needs to certify is followed, that person that certifies it should be the one with the credentials. For example, just did it approved a subdivision that had some geological permit requirements. We needed the certified, whatever those terms are about engineers and geologists, they were the ones that had to certify that it was done properly. The developer wouldn't even know if it was done properly. He'd know that there's a wall there, but have the right loads and those kinds of things. So I think it has to be somebody with the technical expertise who's, again, licenses on the line to certify that the technical requirements have been met. My opinion, so.
I'll withdraw the suggestion that the architect, my only thought was we trust the architect, the architect's on site and could tell us whether or not, you know, I mean, he's putting his professional career at stake by certification. I'll withdraw that. I'll withdraw that and just go with the language used by Mr. Derek in the staff report, Tokos.
Okay, so could you restate the...
I'll restate it. I move that the conditional use application by the South Beach Church, and that would be file number 2-CUP-23, be approved by this commission subject to the four recommendations and conditions outlined in the staff report dated April 21, 2023 by Derek
Dokos. Second.
Okay, we have all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Okay, carries.
You have a church.
Off the hook.
Okay.
That might go to our heads.
Yeah. Not too much applause.
No. That wasn't a noise violation, was it?
No. No, I'm sure that the architect disappeared on us already.
He's over there
talking to
us. Oh,
okay. Putting his license on the line.
That didn't
fly with the rest of the commission. So
thank you for your participation.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we still have a meeting going on, folks, so if you guys could take your conversations outside, please. Okay. Can we take the conversations outside, please? Come on, we're having a noise violation here.
Yeah, we have a noise issue here.
Yeah, well, yeah, a bit.
Okay, Chair, you restore order. All right.
Okay, next up is file number 3-CUP-23, a conditional use permit to allow the operation of a historical theme photography booth studio in the W2 water-related zone. Staff report.
I'll be brief. The Planning Commission had approved a similar concept in 2021 and found that the photo studio is entertainment-oriented and appropriate in the Bayfront, which is through conditional use, you can authorize entertainment-oriented type uses. That approval, though, like all land use approvals, is specific to the location, and the location was in the gear shed. And so the owner of the business, Mr. Palmer, is moving to a new location at 602 Southwest Bay Boulevard, right next to Bay Haven. And so conditional use was required to go to the new location. The conditional use criteria are set out in the staff report. The specific criteria are listed in Chapter 14.34.050. Public facilities can adequately accommodate the proposed use. The request complies with the requirements of the underlying zone and overlay zone. The proposed use does not have an adverse impact greater than existing uses on nearby properties, or impacts can be ameliorated through the imposition of conditions of approval, and that any proposed building or building modifications are consistent with the overall development character of the neighborhood with regard to building size and height. So those are the standards. The staff report outlines these standards have been satisfied. The public facilities are in place to support uses of this nature. It's an existing retail building. The applicant's not proposing to make any changes. They're just occupying the existing retail space. We don't expect that's going to have any impact on any of the other uses in the area. There are no building modifications of note. They'll need a signed permit, but that's a small thing. At the end of the day, the criteria have been met, and my recommendation would be to approve the conditional use application. And if you do, seeing nobody else in here, and I suspect that there would be nobody else in here other than the applicant, I went ahead and put together a final order and findings so that they don't have to wait another 2 weeks, or he doesn't have to wait another 2 weeks. That's all I have.
Any questions of staff? Okay, I'll make sure I cover everything. I ask the Planning Commission to disclose any actual or potential conflicts of interest, bias, ex parte contacts, or site visits on this one.
I have had none.
Hearing none. Okay. And does anyone have an objection to the Planning Commission? The lone member says no. So at this point in time, the applicant's testimony, would you like to come up and say something? You can give us your start by giving us your name and address, please.
Steve Palmer, it's 927 Southwest 11th Street, Newport. And this is familiar because I went through this a couple of years ago, like you say, and I was on Zoom because of COVID. And pretty much the same thing. I'm just moving a few hundred feet down the street from where I was at, and brought samples. If you guys don't know what that is, I mean, it's just stuff like that. Tourists come. I've had repeat visitors when I was down at the other place, and so that's basically what it is, taking pictures. I have a tourist-themed or historical concept.
So the last time we approved it, you did start up the business and are still going full blast.
Well, I mean, I'm moving down there now, but yes, that's what I did and did great. I mean, it started doing good because it takes a while to get established, but.
Sure. Well, I'm glad to see that it was successful. I thought it was a great idea at the time and still do.
Yeah, it seems like a great place
Are you looking to make any modifications to the structure, to the exterior?
It's just all I need is a rectangle.
Up.
Yeah. just a building with walls and a ceiling.
You're doing, you have only two themes, the Roaring Twenties and the Wild West?
For right now. I want to add a couple others. One will be like a vintage fishing.
Okay.
And so I have a kind of a boat prop built, and then the old yellow fishing gear and fishing poles and things for people that don't want to go out on the trip in the cold, and maybe they want to fake it. Save them money, right?
Or get seasick.
Yeah, and they won't get seasick. And then the other one I have in mind is like a hippie theme, late 60s, 70s kind of thing.
Okay.
And so, okay. But so far the two that I have been doing, they've done great.
Okay.
And that's what people are used to when they go to Arizona and Colorado and all those things. That's kind of what they already know.
Okay. I don't see any other persons in favor. I don't see any people opposed. And there's certainly no rebuttal. So any other questions of the applicant?
I'd like to move that we...
Can I close the record?
Sure, why not?
The record is closed. All the testimony. I love this. Oh, that's great. Okay. Now we can have deliberations, or in your case, just move.
I just want to move that we approve file number 3-CUP-23 and the final order.
Be separate motion on the final order.
All right.
I'll second it. This is a no-brainer.
Okay.
I qualify.
Oh.
Okay, all in favor of the motion as presented, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed.
I would like to move that we approve the final order and findings on file number 3-CUP-23.
Second. Oh.
Okay. Boy, she is quick tonight.
I'm quick.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm practicing.
Okay. Okay, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carries. Final order carries. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Good luck, Mr. Palmer.
Yes.
Good luck.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Doesn't matter, huh?
Well, it's a better location, so...
Oh, it is?
Well, it's on the sidewalk.
That's a hot corner.
I was down that hallway before, and so it was a struggle.
Yeah, I wish you well.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, new business.
I just have a few director comments, if that's all right. I don't think we had anything in new business. Ready?
Yep.
All right. The applicant on the Abbey Hotel filed an appeal. It's an on the record the appeal. The city council set the date for the appeal to be May 15th. We are in the process of having the record put together. The one thing that we're waiting for right now is for the third party that we hire to do those written transcripts, to wrap up the written transcripts, because you had two evidentiary hearings. And so we expect that we've got the transcript for first hearing, but they're still working on the transcript for the second hearing. We expect to have that by the end of the week. And what we'll do is we'll put the entire record up on our website. Council will have it for a couple of weeks in advance of the hearing. So the way the on-the-record hearings work is that the testimony is limited to the appellant or appellants, if there were multiple ones, the applicant, if not the appellant, and staff. And so, but again, you know, this is on the same record that was before the Planning Commission. So the City Council will have the benefit of all of the testimony that you received over those two evidentiary hearings. So that's where that's at.
Seems like at least once in the past, when there was an appeal, there was a request for a member of the Planning Commission to appear for an explanation of.
I think it's legislative. Where those the vacation rentals, it's the legislative stuff where you have, where actually the council wants Planning Commission members, particularly on some of the tougher legislative lifts that you've been engaged in. You get there and explain, hey, this is kind of how we sorted through these issues. For on the record appeal, it's very limited, it's quasi-judicial, and they just, it's that kind of narrow approach. The you are welcome to, well, as long as you don't have a quorum, you know, one or up to three of you are welcome to attend and observe. We've got, as I mentioned before, we've got the HPS open house tomorrow night. We'll be here, and we are actually recording that. I did have a request from one of our council members, because they got the League of Oregon Cities conference going, so they're up in Seaside right now, or at least several of them are, and so we'll go ahead and record it. We'll have some interactive polling. If you got your postcard, you notice it's in English and Spanish. We have a staff member from Eco Northwest who's fluent in Spanish. We'll be here. And our game plan is, if we do have, you know, we didn't have a whole lot of folks on the online survey participate using the Spanish language survey. I think we had two of the 450. Right. So I don't know that we're going to have very many people attend who don't speak English, but if we do, we'll have a staffer here who can translate for them. There'll be some flash poll kind of components to this. Because it's going to be on live TV, right, Sherry? We got that set up with Richard?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. If somebody's happening to just observe it at home, they can do the live poll too. I mean, so it's all based on your phone. You just text in the code, and then you can do the live poll along with everybody else. So we'll see. We'll try to have some fun with it and then go through the strategies. That will be going to the council. Also happens to be on May 15th. The council will then take it up in resolution form. So I'll actually have that teed up for your first meeting in May for a recommendation on the housing production strategies. As a commission, you've been pretty involved in the housing issues all the way through. So you'll have a chance to provide a recommendation or any other comments on the housing production strategy to the council before they take that item up. And I just wanted to mention briefly where we're at with the City Center Revitalization Project. It's still in the hands of ODOT and their TGM folks. We don't have the consultant under contract. They don't have the consultant under contract. The scope of work's all finalized. This is just a workload issue on ODOT's side to get this contract put together. And so until we have a contract, we can't really move forward with the project. So my guess is we're not going to be moving forward with public engagement at this juncture probably until the fall, because you can't do it in the middle of the summer. I mean, it just doesn't work. Everybody's too busy doing other things. But it's moving forward. So that's where we're at.
So it's not that they've got some negotiation problem or something. It's just a matter of getting through the paperwork and getting a contract
right.
executed.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Have they selected a contractor? And
we went through it. Well, we went through an RFP. We went through the full RFP, and they call it. It's a mini RFP because right. It has to be off a select number of consulting teams that ODOT's already pre-vetted. But we interviewed and we selected a preferred vendor, right. And you know. At this point, it's just a matter of ODOT's staff, because they manage a number of these projects, getting this one tied up. Now, we are bringing some additional funds to the table. You'll see that in the budget as part of a match for this project. But, you know, part of that is cost escalation, and part of that is making sure we get everything we need out of this project, so that we can move forward with whatever the final outcome is. We've got the urban renewal funds to reshape that streetscape. We need to get final answers so we can move forward with that and not be high-centered at a policy level. So that's where we're at. That's all I had.
Okay. At 8:23, we're adjourned.
Okay. Yep, 6 p.m. tomorrow on the housing production stuff.